Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome you tonight to the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am Michael Boldea, your host, and that is what they call a cold open. So thank you for joining us. Once again, it has been an interesting week with much going on, a lot of it ignored by the press and the media and everyone else because there is an agenda, and the agenda is undeniable. There is a narrative that is plainly visible to anyone willing to see it, and they're not letting up. It's like a dog with a bone that just clenched its jaw, and that's it. Never going to let go. Never going to get past it. Never going to go on because this is all they have. By the way, the narrative has shifted over the past few weeks. I would hazard to guess that the whole Mueller probe is going to be a big old goose egg. There isn't going to be much there because they're not pushing it anymore. They're realizing if there was anything substantive, if there was anything worthy of note, if there was anything that would incriminate or otherwise shame or embarrass Donald Trump, it likely would have leaked by now. And this is the thing that you have to understand, is that there have been so many leaks, and they have been so consistent that the fact that nothing has come of all this, nothing has been leaked, as it were, the fact that some anonymous source didn't say there's a bombshell in Mueller's report tells me that there isn't. And so now they have to shift the narrative. They have to go on to something because they despise this man. They despise his politics. And think what you will of him, he is effective on various levels, in various ways. He is effective, and he's gotten into their heads. And he lives there rent-free. So it's fun to watch. Now, we didn't really discuss what happened in New Zealand last week. I did write an article on it. It's up on my blog. I will read it at some point because I think it's important to have some context. Because the first thing that people do nowadays, whenever anything happens, if it fits the mold, if it fits the narrative, if it's what they want, then they will jump to conclusions faster than, you know, a rabbit whose tail's on fire. And they will beat that dead horse until there's nothing left. And because there is no reason anymore, from what I'm seeing, there's no backbone, there's no steel spine. Whenever something like this happens, nations tend to overreact. New Zealand apparently has passed confiscation laws of firearms. The prime minister herself is wearing a hijab and trying to get everybody to I guess stand or kneel or whatever for the call to prayer, the Muslim call to prayer. And if Muslim zealots knew that this is all that it would take for an entire nation to come to heel, if Muslim zealots knew that this is all it took for an entire nation to bend over backwards in order to not seem Islamophobic, even though that's a made-up word and there's no such thing, they probably would have done it themselves a whole lot earlier. Right now, New Zealand is jumping the shark. And they're going to start to tighten the screws on their own people because there's no acknowledgement from those in power that it's not guns that kill people, it's people that kill people. Tragedies happen. They've been happening since the beginning of time. Yes, we've made it more expedient in our day and age to take lives, but it doesn't mean that it started with our generation. It doesn't mean that it started with us. Look at human history for the past 250 years and see how grotesquely some human beings are able to treat other human beings. Because this is the nature of fallen man. This is what fallen man is. So I'm going to go into the article that I wrote because, again, I think context is very important. Because as horrible as it was, there's a lot more Christians dying, being martyred, that nobody seems to want to talk about because it doesn't fit the narrative. You have some very strange bedfellows, like the homosexual community, the homosexual activists, and Islam coming together because they have a common enemy, and that is Christians and Christianity. And what the homosexual community doesn't realize, because either they're myopic or they're just ignorant, is that once they've served their purpose, they too will become cannon fodder, because Islam doesn't bend. Let's put it that way. I think that's a good way of putting it. Islam does not bend. It does not bend to you. It does not bend to me. It does not bend to anybody. And so if they think that by tolerance and embracing a backwards religion that has no place in the modern world, they will ingratiate themselves, the only thing they'll do is be close enough to have their windpipes severed so that they can't scream. Anyway, this is the article that I wrote Tuesday, which is 2 days ago. And it's titled Fallen Man, because this is the disease. It's not guns. It's fallen man. And the only remedy is Christ. So the article begins thusly. Murderous hearts will always find a way to achieve their ends. Take away the gun and they will use a truck. Take away the truck and they will use a car. Take away a car and they will use a knife. Take away the knife and they will use a fork, their teeth, their fists, a brick, a sharpened stick, or whatever happens to be laying around. There have been enough mass shootings and mass murders over the past few years wherein anything substantive that would have been said about them has been said already. It is tragic, heartbreaking, stomach-churning, and altogether inhuman regardless of the religious ideology of those whose lives were taken. Yes, I believe that Islam is a false religion. Yes, I believe that Muhammad is a false prophet. No, I do not want to see anyone slaughtered for it. As believers, we are to love even our enemies. We are to love even those who would wish us harm and wish us ill will. No rational human being can take pleasure in carnage. No rational human being can take pleasure in slaughter, even if it happened half a world away. That said, the number of Christians being slaughtered throughout the world is disproportionately higher than any other religion. allow me to pause and add this. This is fact. It is demonstrably proven. It's unequivocal. The number of Christians being slaughtered throughout the world is disproportionately higher than any other religion. But for some unexplained reason, this fact gets overlooked time and again by every media outlet. We're not talking about isolated incidents of violence here or there. We're talking about entire countries intent on exterminating Christians and Christianity from within their borders. Let's go through a list. It's not complete by any means now, but Syria, Iraq, Iran, North Korea, Somalia, Afghanistan, Pakistan, as Barack Hussein Obama used to call it, Yemen, Sudan, China. Do I need to go on? Or have I made my point? There is one other overlooked discrepancy that is worth noting. And that is, while the Christians being tortured, crucified, thrown off buildings, drowned, burned alive, and decapitated are being murdered by professing Muslims, none of the attacks on Muslim places of worship, Muslim mosques, or Muslims were carried out by professing Christians. This is a very important thing to point out. Anytime people say, oh, look at what happened in New Zealand. The Christians, they are at fault. It is their fault. No. It wasn't a Christian. The man was a nihilist, an anarchist, a heathen. He never claimed Christianity. Now, this is not a meaningless distinction. This is not splitting hairs. It is the crux of the entire matter and the prism through which it must be viewed if we're to be intellectually honest. Somehow, it still amazes us the depths to which the nature of fallen man will go. Somehow, it still amazes us the cruelty men are capable of visiting upon their fellow man. And it shouldn't. This is fallen man in all his grotesque, disfigured glory. This is what the heart of fallen man is capable of without remorse, shame, or the rational awareness that they are ending something they have no right to end, which is a human life. Rather than lament the situation for what it was, some have taken to connecting issues that have no correlation or relationship simply because it fits their narrative. Somehow, in their deluded minds, American gun owners and the President of the United States are responsible, and directly so, for the fact that some nihilist in New Zealand had a mental break and went on a killing spree. It just goes to show that these individuals care not a whit about 50 dead people in New Zealand. All they care about is driving their narrative and continuing to chip away at the fabric of this nation by any means necessary. And that was my article. And in hindsight, it's proven to be truer with each passing day. It's painfully obvious that especially the mass media cares not a whit about 50 dead Muslims in New Zealand. They care about is trying to paint all American gun owners, and it's not just white people, because there is a concerted effort to silence and shame white men, especially, and call them racist from birth, even though 99% have no racist tendency whatsoever. But see, the thing is, there always needs to be there always needs to be something they can point to. And make others fearful of. And if there's nothing there, then they have to make it up. Because it's the politics of fear. It's the politics of division. Because they need to distract from a few things. They need to distract from the fact that the economy is actually doing pretty well. They need to distract from the fact that any American who wants a job can get a job. It may not be the job you want. It may not be the job you dreamed of. But it will be a job that gives you money. And with that money, you can go and buy food. Something that was not readily available as little as 3 years ago. There were people looking for jobs that couldn't find them. I had people calling, hey, are you hiring? Can I do something for you? I need to feed my family. Now, if I'm looking to hire somebody, going rate, $15 and up. Because jobs are plentiful. We need to be distracted to such an extent wherein those things remain in the background. They remain in the shadows. We cannot look at these things rationally and go, hey, we're not doing half bad, economically speaking. Now, the other thing that's going on is that with each passing day, our relationship and bond with Israel is growing stronger. Now, the reason this matters is because you have newly minted Congress members who despise Israel to their very core. You have newly minted Congress members who would rejoice openly at the destruction of the state of Israel. And we seem, as a nation, to be doing everything we can to support Israel, which is contrary to what these people want. This is why there are so many in politics right now, both on the left and the right. I'm not just picking on Democrats. There are a lot of Republicans who have been elected to office who likewise despise Donald Trump. Because even though they have the R behind their name, their vision of the future is exactly in line with those that have a D behind their name. We talked about this some time ago, about the fact that we needed to make a distinction and realize that the battle isn't Democrat against Republican. The battle is nationalist against globalist. And there are globalists on both sides who are willing to do absolutely anything necessary to either silence or do away with this administration. They despise it in a way that you cannot comprehend. And so every chance they get, every opportunity they get, to talk this administration down and talk this president down, they do so while relishing it. Look, right now, apparently the big news is that Donald Trump said something about John McCain. And so, of course, that's going to be the news cycle for the next few days. Granted, what nobody seems to be mentioning is that John McCain and his staffers are the ones that shopped the dossier that started this whole lunacy about Russian collusion. They're the ones that took it and shopped it around and showed it to people, and finally somebody bit, even though it was complete hogwash, made up from tip to tail. But see, nobody wants to talk about that. Oh, he just said something mean about John McCain. Look, I'm sorry, one heroic act 1,000 years ago doesn't make you a perpetual hero. Towards the twilight of his life, John McCain made certain decisions and did certain things that, I'm sorry, were not patriotic. We're not in line with the party to which he ascribed. Let's put it that way. I know you're not supposed to speak ill of the dead, but you're supposed to be honest about the dead. Look, I'm glad his daughter loves him, and I'm glad his wife thought he was a noble and decent man, but his actions towards the latter years of his life make him seem like a bitter individual, one who holds a grudge, and one who is willing to put his own animus before the well-being of the American people. In case you've forgotten, because so many of us have such short memories, it was John McCain who had the deciding vote regarding Obamacare and that entire mess. And he voted against simply because he despised Donald Trump. And that's the truth of it. There was no political reasoning. There was no machination. He despised the president. He saw his opportunity and he took it. Because to the end, he was a spiteful little man, heroic as he might have been in his youth. Now, even that is debatable, because there are stories of Senator John McCain's heroism and about how other prisoners of war suffered while, well, some others didn't because, anyway, not going to go down that rabbit trail. I'm just saying. But again, every single opportunity that is afforded them, the globalists take and run with because they need to distract from the reality of what is happening. We just declared that the Golan Heights should be in complete control of Israel. This was something very recent. We moved the American embassy to Jerusalem. There are things that are happening internationally that nobody talks about because they don't want to give this man any credit, even though he deserves it. Yes, he deserves criticism in certain places, but he also deserves a modicum of credit. So here we are. And once again, conspiracy theories are swirling. And I've gotten at least 3 emails about this. Because there's a photograph of Donald Trump holding his thumb and his forefinger together. And that makes him part of the cabal. That makes him in league with evil. All right, let me look. That's saying that anybody who rubs their eyes with the palm of their hand and not with their knuckles is giving off secret signals and secret signs, and that they're part of a cabal and evil. Not everything means something. And this is something Christians need to sort of get a hold of real quick. Because we've gone through these cycles of stupid. And we've gotten distracted because of these cycles of stupid. And this is the newest cycle of stupid. And I'm sure there will be others, because man can't get enough of stupid. Look, if this man were the globalist that some claim he is, the mask would have come off by now. His decisions would have been contrary to what his decisions have been thus far. But no, he held his thumb and his forefinger together, and that's the secret sign. Look, I've been around this for long enough to have remembered all the other things that have come up that were proven false eventually, that distracted the church and distracted Christians and made people jump at each other's throats, because how dare you not believe? How dare you question the legitimacy of the sign of holding one's forefinger and thumb together? You remember that, what, Prince Charles was supposed to be the Antichrist? Then it was supposed to be some hockey player in Hungary? Now it's supposed to be, what, Donald Trump's son-in-law, and tomorrow it's going to be somebody else? You remember all those? But see, these people that come up with endless conspiracy theories never have to answer for their own lunacy. They just go on to the next thing. They just go on to the next conspiracy theories once they've ridden that particular horse into the ground. We can go back even further if you want. Y2K, 88 reasons why Christ is coming in 88. 89 reasons why Christ is coming in 89. All of these earth-shattering for the Christian community. How dare you not believe? How dare you, sir? Because I'm sick of seeing decent people fall for these idiocies and then have to pick themselves up and put themselves back together when what they believed proven false. I'm sick of seeing good people get snagged up in cycles of stupid only to waste months and even years of their life chasing a pipe dream that is non-existent. Not everything means something. Maybe somebody scratching their nose just means they were itching. But we gotta look for the secret meaning. You don't need secret meaning, kids. They're out in the open. They're not trying to hide anything anymore. They're telling you exactly what they want to do to you. They're telling you exactly what they want to do to your country. They're telling you exactly what they want to do to your constitution. They're telling you exactly what they want to do to everything. But no. Look at the thumb and the forefinger. Look at it. Look at it. It's a secret sign. I'm telling you, it's a secret sign. Meanwhile, every single person running for the Democratic nomination speaking things that should scare the stuffing out of rational human beings. Every single person running for the Democratic ticket is coming off as a babbling lunatic. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, these people are throwing everything against the wall, hoping something sticks. Reparation, gun confiscation, doing away with the Electoral College, making the Supreme Court 150 people and not 9, whatever. To them, it's just a means to an end. The means do not matter. They will promise anything they have to promise in order to reach their end, which is get power again. And mark my words, all of you sitting on the sidelines because Donald Trump made a sign with his thumb and his forefinger. All of you, once these people get power again, they will make it so they will never lose power again. Understand this. Let this crystallize and sink in before you go off on the rabbit trail of thumb and forefinger and signs and such. If they get power again, they will make it, will never again lose or be out of power, because to them, power is all that matters. We need to understand that we are in dire straits. And we can't get distracted by foolish things, because if we do, then it's all done. If we get distracted now, then by the time we shake off the slumber, by the time we shake off the confusion, it'll be too late. It'll be done. And it doesn't matter which one of these people get the Democratic nomination. They've got the playbook. You can hear it in their words. You can hear it in their cadence. You know that it's not their thoughts. You know that it's not their words. They're saying what the playbook says, because they've poll tested every single sentence that comes out of their mouth. And this is why the big push for illegals to have a vote and for 16-year-olds to be able to vote in national elections, because they realize there's still enough rational people out there where they're not going to win this cycle. So at best, we've got 6 more years. At worst, we've got 2 more. And the question that we must ask ourselves is, what do we do with this time? What are we supposed to be doing? Well, the first thing we're supposed to be doing is speaking truth. Look, I've gotten enough emails from enough of you to understand where you're coming from. And I agree, to a certain extent, the other side has succeeded in silencing people. They've threatened to demonetize, they've threatened to take away people's livelihood. And people have done the math and they realized, I can't. I can't support my family if this happens. And I know that this will happen if I don't keep my mouth shut. And so for fear of losing out, people have chosen to voluntarily silence themselves. They've chosen to voluntarily censor themselves. And many people today speak half-truths at best out of fear. They are afraid that what happened to so-and-so and what happened to so-and-so will happen to them. But see, your fear is what the other side is counting on. Because once their lunacy is confronted with truth, once their lunacy is confronted with facts, once their lunacy is confronted with reason, most people will see the difference and realize, oh my, you really do need to be in a straitjacket. That goes for the whole lot of them, from Bernie to Kamala to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Everyone that keeps saying that socialism is a viable option for this nation. To anyone that continues to insist that we need to trust government and hand in our firearms and everything else we possess because they'll take good care of us. Look, I think New Zealand just fell into a trap. There's an old saying by an old Democrat operative. And his saying was, never let a good crisis go to waste. And I think this is what just happened in New Zealand. Now, in case you haven't heard, because this is breaking news, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced Thursday that New Zealand has officially banned military-style semi-automatic rifles and high-capacity magazines. The Daily Mail quoted Ardern as saying, on March 15th, our history changed forever. Now our laws will too. We are announcing action today on behalf of all New Zealanders to strengthen our gun laws and make our country a safer place. Indeed. She added, now, 6 days after this attack, we are announcing a ban on all military-style semi-automatics and assault rifles in New Zealand. Now, look at the verbiage. Look at the language, or language, as fake French people would say. It's not military weapons. It's military-style semi-automatics. So basically, under that umbrella, they can take away everything except for what, your flint pistol and your shotgun. And even then, you know, a shotgun in a pinch can be used as a military-style weapon. Ardern noted that related parts used to convert these guns into military-style semi-automatics, they're all semi-automatic. This is why people who've never fired guns shouldn't make laws about guns, because they sound retarded. Are also being banned along with all high-capacity magazines. Define high capacity. 6, 8, 10, 12, 20. But see, this is why it's ambiguous. Purposefully ambiguous. Do you understand this? The law of New Zealand regarding gun confiscation is purposefully ambiguous. Because that way they can take whatever they want, whenever they want it, from whomever they want. CBS News reported Ardern saying, we're talking of our circulation, or we're taking out of circulation the guns that can be modified that way and are designed essentially to take lives. Or defend one's homestead. Or just, you know, strange thought. I know it would never happen, especially with the lunatics trying to take power in this country. but, you know, citizens protecting themselves against an out-of-control government. Oh, they can be used for that too, not just to take lives. Do you see where this entire trend is heading? I need you to open your eyes. You need to open your eyes and see where this is trending globally, worldwide. And this is why they despise this administration so much, because Donald Trump is standing in the way of globalization, of globalism. I guarantee you, as sure as today is March 21st, 2019, if the other side gets power, the first thing they'll do is try to pass gun confiscation very close to what New Zealand just did. Make it ambiguous. You know, not a lot of certainty, no real guidelines. Semi-automatic military-style weapons. Well, that covers a whole lot, don't it? After announcing the ban, Ardern addressed law-abiding gun owners, saying, of course she did, to owners who have legitimate uses for their guns. Define legitimate use. Didn't define it, huh? Because what you define as a legitimate use, the government of New Zealand might not. But see, the ways that they're nuancing this should scare the stuffing out of every gun-owning citizen of New Zealand. To owners who have legitimate uses for their guns, I want to reiterate that the actions being announced today are not because of you, really, and are not directed at you. Oh, really? Who are they directed at, Madam Prime Minister? Because let me clue you in, you rapacious, ignorant woman. Non-law-abiding citizens, i.e. criminals, are not going to hand in their guns. Criminals are not going to volunteer their weapons. Criminals will continue to use them. So even though you're reiterating that the actions being announced today were not because of, you know, law-abiding gun owners or directed at them, that's exactly who it's going to harm. Criminals don't care about laws. That's why they're criminals. So you can pass 1,000 laws on gun confiscation. Bring in your guns and your bullets and your knives and your forks. And you know who's going to do it? The law-abiding. You know who's not? The criminal. And then, perchance, a criminal, knowing that all the law-abiding folk went in and turned in their firearms, might query to himself, says, if that buffoon turned in his firearm and we still possess ours, what is keeping us from entering his home and using our firearm to rob, maim, kill, rape, or whatever else we want to do? What this is doing in New Zealand is making it easier for criminals to commit criminal acts. That's it. Nothing more. Our actions on behalf of all New Zealanders are directed at making sure this never happens again. And I guarantee you that it will. Because, see previous comment, fighting citizens will turn in their guns. Criminals will not. And there will be instances where you're making criminals out of law-abiding citizens. And that's the scary thing. When someone who's paid their taxes and lived a fair life and raised a family and has a home and, you you know, plants a garden, buys a kitten, wakes up one morning and discovers that they are on the wrong side of the law because they still believe in protecting their families. You are making criminals, law-abiding citizens, Madam Prime Minister. But you couldn't care less, because we need to project. We need to show the world that not only do we embrace Islam, that not only do we believe Islam and Muslims are superior to us, but we will take away the rights of our citizens because one nihilist decided he was going to go on a shooting spree. On March 16th, it was reported that the Christchurch attacker possessed 5 guns during his attack, and 2 of those guns were semi-automatic rifles. He did have a license to own guns in New Zealand, and he acquired his guns legally. So that's what happened in New Zealand. Now, in case you're thinking to yourself, sales? That could never happen here. Guess what? All of the weird, queer Hollywood folk are cheering the New Zealand gun ban following the Christchurch shooting. Pushing for this, and pushing for this, and pushing for this. Until, like a twig, you'll hear a snap. And when you hear that snap, you better make very certain that you can feed your family, that you can protect your family, and that you can weather the storm. Because the storm is coming. And in large part, it will be because those that could have spoken up were cold into silence, were threatened into silence, were abused into silence. In large part, it'll be because those that could have done something did nothing, because they were distracted by the thumb and the forefinger. Understand the times that you're living in and live accordingly. Because when the twig snaps, it will without equivocation be too late. Look, we're still trying to do good as a nation. I just found the article, which, again, today, this is all breaking news. That's how on top of it I am. Marking a monumental shift in U.S. policy that would help ensure Israel's security in the future, President Donald Trump on Thursday declared that the time has come for America to fully recognize Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. After 52 years, it is time for the United States to fully recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, which is of critical strategic and security importance to the state of Israel and regional stability, Donald Trump tweeted. So this has become our position. Now, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, another anti-globalist who they're trying to get rid of by any means necessary, called Trump to thank him by phone. "You made history," Netanyahu's office quoted him as saying. "At a time when Iran seeks to use Syria as a platform to destroy Israel, President Trump boldly recognizes Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Thank you, President Trump," Netanyahu subsequently said in a tweet. So this is what we did today. But I guarantee you, this will likely be one of the handful of places that you'll hear about it. Why? Go back and listen to the first 30 minutes of the program. They need to keep you distracted. They need to keep you focused on other things besides the reality of what is happening. And as long as they can do that, as long as they can keep you distracted and chasing after rabbit trails, they can inch their way further and further towards their desired goal. Look, it's not like nobody told you. It's not like you didn't know. The question is whether or not you chose to listen. The question is whether or not you chose to do anything about it. Because, see, there are still people, even today, even with the threat of having your livelihood snatched out from under you, that put themselves on the line, that speak the truth, unapologetically, that tell you what you need to hear rather than what you want to hear. But the numbers of those willing to do this are dwindling with each passing day. Have situational awareness regarding the things that are happening right before your face. Because see, that's another one of the foibles we make frequently. We focus on something far off in the distance and fail to see what's right before our face, right in front of our eyes. Don't be that person. See what's happening now, not what's going to happen if another temple gets rebuilt. I know, I just hit somebody with that. But it's the truth. Focus on the immediate things. Because this is how we got to this place. We were gazing off into the distance. And they legalized one thing after another, and they took away one right after another. And before you knew it, you were a slave. Maybe not in chains and nobody's whipping you physically, but you got to do what you're told. Because if you don't, they'll flex. And you'll have no bank, and you'll have no credit cards, and you'll have no home. And this is what they do to anyone they deem a threat. So, stop gazing, trying to see over the horizon. Look at what's in front of you and try to affect that. Because anybody can come up with a hypothetical situation. Anybody can come up with a theory about something that they saw somewhere. But anytime you hear somebody speak on these things, ask yourself honestly, what does that have to do with what's happening right now? What does that have to do with the situation at hand? Look, darkness is making strides right under our noses. And eventually, if they make enough strides, they will achieve their desired result. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to make you dislike me by any means. I'm just being honest with you. Because you deserve honesty. You deserve the truth. You deserve somebody who is willing to speak the truth no matter the consequence. And then what you do after that, what you do beyond that point, is solely up to you. See, that's the beauty of what I do, at least to me. Once I speak the truth, my responsibility ends and yours begins. Once I speak the truth, I've done my job. I've done my duty. I have completed my task. And then your work begins. You need to figure out what you must do. Not in 5 or 10 years, not when something happens that somebody said would happen, but tomorrow, today. That is your responsibility. And with that, I thank you for joining us. I thank you for listening. I'm going to hand it off to Gino, and I'm sure he'll have something to tell you. Until next time, may God bless you and may God keep you. Be well. Gino, all yours.
Hey, thank you, Mike. What do I have to add to that? We better wake up, better speak up, keep praying, because Mike made a couple good points. One is, when they get power again, they won't give it up. That's a very scary thought. And it should cause us to be very proactive and step up to the plate. And you know what? That's not a lot of years off. We've got an election in 2020, very important. So I would advocate for people to, you know, motivate not only ourselves but others to vote. Let's be motivated to stand up in our area for things that affect our families. Gun laws, you get Democrats in there and liberals, they're going to change. Not only that, but I'm quite sure they will really try to clamp down and enforce politically correct laws to limit our speech. So this is the day God's given us. Let's stand for what we stand for. Thank you for listening to the Light of Truth broadcast. God bless you.